welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Hey, I'm not probably the best one to get involved in today's discussion, given my strong feelings on PSA. Suffice it to say that many of us have been saying for a decade or so that PSA screening with either the digital rectal exam or the PSA is neither sensitive nor specific. In fact, nearly every scholarly group agrees with this statement, and most do not recommend PSA screening for men of average risk for prostate cancer. Despite this, the urologists and some patient advocacy groups, often funded by the makers of the Da Vinci robot, have strongly opposed these recommendations. Today, we're going to look at a data from the PLCO trial. PLCO stands for prostate, lung, colorectal, and ovarian cancer screening. You know, I think it is probably safe to say that the only thing that all of these different groups can agree on, including the urologists, is that there's no single person who should be screened for both ovarian and prostate cancer. So if we can accept that as a ground, everything above that is going to be somewhat controversial. So this study, it was published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute this year, asks a question that is sort of fundamental to all of this, which is, does screening of asymptomatic men for prostate cancer improve mortality? And obviously, you know, it is mortality that is the main outcome. What did they find, Mark?
Yeah, this is an update to the previous report of the PLCO study. And they took men 55 to 74 in the U.S., 10 centers, big study. I think about 70,000 men in that study. And they randomized them to get prostate cancer screening, which was annual PSA for 6 years, plus a DRE for 4 years, or no scheduled screening. And at this point, they have data on 92% have been followed for 10 years, 57% had 13 years of follow-up. So the vast majority have had at least 10 years of follow-up. And they found that, not surprisingly, if you go looking for it, you're going to find more prostate cancer. Incidence was about 12% higher in the screened group. So you do find more prostate cancers. The overall cumulative mortality rates were virtually identical, actually a teeny bit higher in the screen group, 3.7 versus 3.4 per 10,000 person years. They found no difference in mortality when they only looked at the men who had never been screened before starting the study, or by different ages or by comorbidities. So they didn't find a benefit. I think it's worth discussing. Certainly, there's another big study in Europe, the ESRPC or ESPRC or something like that, European study of prostate cancer screening, that did find a decrease in prostate cancer-specific mortality in the subset of men who were 55 to 69 years. Now, they didn't find a benefit in 50 to 74-year-olds. Most of the benefit came from the Swedish site. And there are a lot of possible reasons. And the authors of this PLCO study are aware of this, obviously, and said, why did we not find a benefit? Why did they find a small one? And by the way, the Europeans did not find a difference in all-cause mortality. And as my friend Henry Berry, who wrote this poem up, would say, you know, if it's not all-cause, if it doesn't reduce all-cause mortality, you're reshuffling the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. I mean, it's, you know, dying is dying. You know, I think that's important to keep our eye on the ball in terms of all-cause mortality. I think a couple of arguments. One reason favors PSA because the European study was bigger, so it's better powered, and there was a lot less contamination. Contamination means people in the control group getting PSA testing anyway, and that happened in half of the people in the U.S. study. So there were a lot of people who got screened in the control group when they weren't supposed to be, and as I said earlier, about half got screened at some point before they entered the study, and both of those things would tend to attenuate any potential benefit. On the other hand, in the European trial, patients who had prostate cancer diagnosed who were in the intervention arm were more likely to be treated at an academic center, and they were more likely to get more effective therapy, and that would certainly favor make screening look better than it is if they were treated differently.
So in the United States, we know that somewhere between 60 and 65% of men, again, men who have no symptoms of prostate cancer, do get PSA screened. So it still is the the standard that many primary care doctors are going by. The other thing that's important is that you do talk about these guys who end up being diagnosed with cancer. I think we need to come up with a new term, because while the cells themselves appear to be cancerous by pathologic definitions, just a reminder to our listeners that the vast majority of men who have diagnosed cancer as a result of PSA and Gleason staging will die with their cancer, not of their cancer. So this is a series of cells. They're abnormal cells. But, you know, you tell a guy that they've got prostate cancer, their life flashes before them. And for most men, that just isn't the case.
Yeah, and I think the another thing, we'll probably cover it next month, we just wrote up, the Europeans also have updated data on their analysis of their data, and they found, you know, basically, even if you say, hey, this is a great thing, you know, I believe the Europeans, I don't believe the American study, you know, the benefit is still so small. 1,000 men, you screen 1,000 men, they found, you're going to end up diagnosing and treating prostate cancer over that 10-year period in 37 of them. They're going to have to treat all of those men, or, you know, at least that's the usual thing that happens in this country, that we don't do the active surveillance so much. They get treated, they get surgery, they get radiation, they get, you know, hormonal therapies, they have lots of adverse effects, and one man, there's one fewer prostate cancer specific death. So you screen 1,000, you treat 37, you have one fewer death. Now, the thing is, and that's really where we get into sort of the psychology of it, all 37 of those men believe firmly to their dying day, when they die with their prostate cancer, that they had their life saved because of this screening test and because of this treatment. Every single one will say, yeah, my life was saved, thank God. And so that's really hard to, you know, kind of get across, and you'll probably never get it across to the men with prostate cancer. And, you know, then they become advocates and they mean well, but, you know, they don't understand that only one of the 37 actually had their life saved.
Very interesting, Mark. We could go on forever. There's this strong Da Vinci link as well, who make the robots, and we'll talk about those some other point. Thanks for your poem, and we'll talk with you again next week.
All right. See you then.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.